Welcome to Better Together, a Vaishnava family podcast.
A podcast where we explore family life from a bhakti yoga perspective. We are your hosts. I'm Aksh.
And I'm Gopika. Welcome to episode 12. Are we too stressed as parents? The Surgeon General's advisory. So, recently, the Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, released an official government public health advisory warning people that parenting was reaching new levels of stress and that it was a serious harm to one's mental health. It took me off guard a little bit because I think it's a universal truth that parenting is stressful, but it really got me thinking about us right now, living in America, parenting. Are we too stressed out? I'm really curious to hear, when you came across this official public health advisory, what struck you?
Well, I was also a bit surprised because I expected it to be about some type of disease or something a bit more like medical, right? Yet it was about mental health.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it was about parents' mental health.
Yeah.
And the advisory was publicly issued. So it was to inform everybody that this is a societal issue, not just an issue for parents.
Yeah.
I was also really relieved the fact that someone's kind of called it out.
Yeah.
Wow, this is actually really true.
I agree with you. I also felt validated. Okay, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I'm feeling exponential amounts of stress on a regular basis. Seems like a lot of other people are feeling these levels of stress.
Yeah.
And I think it's so interesting because in America, we know our country is notorious for not being family friendly at a policy level, at a culture level, at a societal level. There's this notion that if you have a family, you kind of have to figure it out on your own. Maybe we do have internalized this idea of doing parenting on your own. So I just have to bear the stress.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. But when he released the advisory, it gave me pause for thought. Maybe I also need to go a little deeper into why I'm feeling so stressed. After the Surgeon General released his advisory, there was a lot of chatter in the parenting spaces about this thing called intensive parenting. I think it was a sociologist coined term. Intensive parenting is kind of parenting that is based on the notion that your child needs to be engaged and educated at all times, and that you as a parent are really primarily responsible for that. So parents are spending more time, more money, more resources, more mental energy, making sure their child is learning and involved in something, whether it's an extracurricular activity or you're engaging with them on the floor or talking to them about the leaves and the science behind that on a walk. People started debating, well, are we too stressed because we are intensively parenting? And people didn't used to intensively parent. Like if you talk to our parents and our grandparents in previous years, it wasn't like that. Do you think that we're guilty of being intensive parents?
Potentially. Parents today are spending more time with their family and more time at work. Where is that time coming from? What's getting lost?
Yeah.
And what's getting lost is the parent and their free time, their creative time, time to take care of one's health, time for relationships.
So are you saying you're an intensive parent?
If we look at it that way, I mean, I think that I am impacted by this.
Well, you don't want to label yourself as an intensive parent.
No, I don't.
Why not, though?
Intensive sounds intense, but maybe, yeah.
I feel like in the chatter, intensive parenting almost got a bad rap. And again, now we as parents are at fault for making ourselves so stressed out because we just are too involved in our children's lives all the time. I just feel like it's not that simple, though. There's a lot of factors that I feel like play into being intensive. For example, the amount of education that is out there. Mm-hmm. Like if you go on Instagram and it's like, do this with your child, do that with your child. If your child is behaving like this, say this and don't do that. There was a real ones that was like, when you change your child's diaper, don't put their legs up, roll them to the side so they get proprioceptive input. And it was just like, are you kidding me? No wonder we are intensive, right? Because I think that at the heart of it, every parent wants to be the best for their child.
Yeah.
There has been advances neurologically
mm-hmm.
and in child development and in psychology, like legitimate research that backs some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you follow it? You know?
Yeah.
And to that point, right? I feel like you don't want to label yourself as an intensive parent because it feels bad.
Yeah.
You feel like, no, I'm not guilty of that.
Yeah.
But there's actually some research that is showing that children are reporting greater levels of satisfaction as adults with their parent relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So as parenting has changed and maybe become more intensive, there is some positive benefits here.
The other point that comes up for me is, in terms of outcomes, what you just mentioned, I would also ask the question, are there certain situations with certain types of kids where you do have to be more involved, invested,
yeah.
maybe intense, if you want to use that word?
Yeah, 100%. Right? Your child's temperament is a thing. There's actual research on this where they liken children to types of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah. There are some younger children that are like dandelions, which basically, if you think about what a dandelion needs to grow, not much. They grow everywhere, right? And then you have tulips who might be a little bit more particular. However, they can still fairly do well in different locations. And then you have orchids that require specific temperatures, specific amount of light, specific amount of water. If the flower does not receive that type of environment, it simply will not bloom.
Hmm.
Similarly, children have various degrees of sensitivities and needs. And some children are just more easygoing, go with the flow. They need a little love. They need their basic needs met. And they're pretty much good to go. Right? They can be regulated and happy anywhere. At the other end of the spectrum, you have children that really have particular sensory needs. Their nervous system is very specific with regards to what kinds of needs and input they require for regulation. Certain events, certain lifestyles, food, sounds, clothes they're wearing on their skin, like all of these can be a thing. So if you are a parent of an orchid child, and I will say that one of our children is an orchid child, it is very different than when you have another child, because our other child is not an orchid child, at least from what we can tell right now. And it is way more stressful to try to support your orchid child and create an environment that is going to help that child thrive. Both children are so beautiful and are both amazing. But yes, I definitely feel more stressed with a certain type of temperament. And maybe things will change over time. Right? Mm-hmm. Parenting is dynamic. But yeah, that's a really great point that you bring up.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked about intensive parenting and some of the background around it and reflecting on it ourselves. But one of the things that we like to explore in the podcast is, what is Bhakti's perspective on this issue that's come up with intensive parenting, and how does it help us to find a better balance?
What were your thoughts?
There's like a couple of areas that came up for me. First is, you know, isn't bhakti about being selfless?
Mm.
You know, because there's a lot of emphasis there.
Yeah.
When we look at some of the figures representing the epitome of service, they tend to drop everything that is their own for the service of their loved one. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, on the superficial level, it seems like if we're supposed to sacrifice our whole mind and body, does bhakti then support this notion of intensive parenting? I would argue no, because I feel like When I intensively parent and like really micromanaging my child, if I really dig down under all those layers, I feel like it's not selflessness underneath. Yes, of course I care about the well-being of my child, but the intensity aspect is mixed with some of my own unresolved issues or desires or hopes.
Yeah.
So if I feel stressed about homeschooling, for example, which I do feel anxious and worried about the prospect of having to teach my child how to read and write. When I start to strongly encourage some sort of reading or writing, yeah, superficially, on one level, you can argue, yeah, you're doing it for the well-being of the child. On the other hand, if I step back for a minute, I can say, wait a second, where is this pushiness coming from? Is it really for the well-being of my child, or is it coming from my own fear, my own anxiety, my own lack of trust? And I perhaps am not even at the point of being worried just yet because he's only three. I think being intense and selfless often is not actually selfless. It's actually selfish.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great answer. So it's like selflessness isn't about the external act of what you're doing necessarily.
Yeah.
But about one's internal state and which one is approaching those acts. There's a difference between I'm going to take this opportunity to, you know, educate my child or whatever it is versus I'm expecting certain results. Like I'm kind of trying to control
exactly
where their kind of direction in life is going.
Yes.
Which maybe leads us to another topic.
Yes. Right?
There is that verse in the Gita, right,
yeah,
about results, often quoted, that you're entitled to do your duty, but not entitled to the results of that activity, which really means, yeah, that one's effort is one piece of generating the results.
Yeah, the verse that you're quoting brings to mind a particular example for me, a struggle that I feel like I've faced. So our preschooler will go through certain phases of picky eating or meal refusal, where it's like healthy, nutritious food that he was once eating, he just suddenly doesn't want to eat it. Recently, he kind of went through another phase of that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was really triggered by it, you know, to the point of where it was like, then you kind of start edging into bribery or negotiating. I'm guilty of all of it. I had to really step back and yes, I want my child to eat. So again, part of that is about the well-being of the child. But really, when I look deep down, it was about me and my anxiousness about if my child is hungry, how am I going to handle the dysregulation? What if this is going to happen? What if he can't sleep and he's awake all night? What if he stops eating everything? What if spiral staircase?
Yeah.
That's what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
And what has actually helped us come out of that phase is following the advice, which is so hard to do, but I feel like is in line with the Gita, this thing called division of responsibility, where I am responsible for putting nutritious food on the table, and my child is responsible for deciding what or how much they will eat.
Mm.
It sounds so easy.
Yeah.
But it's very hard when they actually don't touch their plate. Like, not being entitled to the satisfaction of my child having a full belly, and I still have to just do my part in providing a nutritious meal, it's a really difficult test of that. It's an energetic thing too, right? I feel like I've had to just really let go, truly, truly accept that it is not in my control what he eats.
Yeah.
I feel like this little example about eating expands to all parts of life, you know, that like we can be responsible for creating certain conditions. However, the energy with which we bring the expectations, even if they're unspoken, that we have in our hearts, those unresolved desires that might be channeled through our children, I think that's what makes it intensive.
Mm.
You know?
So if you go back to just the eating example, like,
yeah,
because I'm thinking about another thing from the Gita, which is the three modes of nature,
yeah,
and how you could apply it here, where the tamas way of the lowest energetically way of approaching parenting might be to not parent or disengage. Then rajas is kind of the, we call it mode of passion. And I would say that's like overly intensive, like the idea of I'm going to do this, and I'm going to control the outcome. And then the healthiest way is sattvic. We would say mode of goodness, but it's the idea of finding a healthy balance, being self-reflective, being intentional and thoughtful about how one uses one's time and energy. It seems like somehow you were able to avoid the spiral of going into the rajas and took like more of a sattvic approach to handling that. Did you do something practically? How did you kind of get yourself to see it from that angle?
Well, I don't know if it's completely sattvic, but I started being a little sneaky about nutrition to a point where I could feel at peace with whatever they were eating on their plate. For example, if I know that the only thing that's going to be touched is a burrata, I started adding hemp seeds, which is like protein and iron, knowing that if they only eat the burrata and nothing else, okay, whatever. I think on one level, yeah, that sneakiness. And I don't know how or if that's a good thing that I did, but it helped me to come to peace enough to feel security inside me that my child is getting enough.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound like you could have just walked away, which would have been more of like a tamas response. You could have continued to push.
Yeah.
But it seems like you found a third way that was still allowing you to nutritiously fill the child, but in a way that offered you a little bit more peace of mind. And I don't think it was necessarily a cop-out because we're still like offering other things.
Yeah, I just needed to find a way that I could actually genuinely feel at peace, because I would say, okay, eat whatever you want. But like the thing about kids is that they can smell you, which is why scripts don't always work. When you read all these scripts on Instagram of it's okay to be upset, but it's not okay to hit or whatever it is, you know, great line. The research behind it makes sense and stuff. But if I myself am fuming in that moment and I'm like, it's okay to be upset, like, they're going to know that I don't actually think that it's okay for them to be upset.
Yeah.
So I genuinely have to accept what's happening. When I can genuinely make space for that, which is really hard, that's actually where the shifts happen. But maybe in life too, it's like, what do I need to feel that security to really make space for my child? Is it time for myself? Is it connection with friends to be able to reflect on so that you can be that accepting presence, you know, and not have this need to like constantly push your agendas on your children?
Yeah.
I think it's different for everybody. I know for me, I wrote down in terms of the bhakti perspective that there's this one verse where it talks about practicing bhakti in a very practical way. Yes, we're all about love and developing a loving relationship with God, but that means that we're also charged with really being able to develop truly loving relationships with other people in our life. In that verse, it said that one of the ways in which you can do that is by sharing your heart in confidentiality, like really, truly being able to be vulnerable with someone. And I think the Surgeon General even brought that up in his advisory as like a suggestion to lower parent stress, that parents need to actually be able to connect with other parents and other people to feel like they can share their hearts.
Yeah.
I love that bhakti encourages us of this vulnerability, because it's really hard living in America where societally the message is you're on your own with parenting, but that like that vulnerability and that honesty that like, yes, this is really hard what we're going through.
Yeah.
is important in terms of finding that balance. And maybe through those vulnerable conversations, through reflection, you can have the space to really come back to your children with a more balanced perspective. What do you think in terms of finding this balance?
Maybe it starts with some clarity on the, say, goals and boundaries that one has created for oneself and one's own health.
Okay.
Physical, mental, and then checking in on how much those boundaries are maintained. For example, I know for me, I started a boundary for sleeping early and getting up earlier. In my specific case, it's been up and down. In the last few days, I've been not keeping that boundary as well as I would like. So it helps to know where that is.
So what you're saying is making sure that you have complete clarity on this hard line of, I need to do this for myself every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because at the end of the day, actually, that's being selfless, mm-hmm. holding a line for yourself. Because if you don't, you will become actually a liability mm-hmm. in the future.
Yeah.
Which is what the Surgeon General is getting at, right? Like these unprecedented levels of stress and the impact that can have over time. So yeah, that makes total sense. I was thinking also, like, we're talking about intensive parenting, but perhaps it's like being intense about the right things.
Mm.
For me, that means making sure that I'm intense about doing my work, like really understanding my interaction with my children. What is actually a result of my history, mm. my baggage, my unresolved hopes, desires, dreams, my biases, my assumptions as to what I believe needs to happen for success in the world,
mm.
versus what does my child actually need? Living in that world of really making sure I'm holding myself responsible and not letting my own stuff spill out onto my child.
No. You know, I don't remember where I heard this, that a practitioner ideally is someone who is intense with themselves and disciplined with themselves and their practice. But when it comes to others, they are compassionate, magnanimous.
Yeah. But that makes it sound like you as a parent almost take all responsibility, all accountability. Like, I feel like that's not the point either when we say, like, be intense with ourselves. That's like crippling anxiety. You know, you're kind of like hard on yourself and then just like the child has no responsibility at all. Right? I feel like that's also not what we're trying to say here.
Yeah.
Right?
No, and I meant it as an intense in oneself in terms of really doing the work of thinking about why one is being intense.
Yeah.
Right? Like, where is that coming from?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I feel like this whole conversation, it's good because we're trying to think about how we can be less stressed, but it's also like we are taking the responsibility again of being less stressed. I just want to also say that perhaps this conversation and our perspective on it is one piece of this only,
mm-hmm.
and that there are many other pieces of the puzzle that play into this Surgeon General's health advisory,
yeah.
right? Whether it's at a societal level, at a community level, at a values and expectation level.
Yeah.
You know, like I genuinely feel sometimes that in this day and age, there's this expectation that you become a parent and that should have like zero impact. It's not like that in other countries.
Yeah.
And I was just listening to a podcast where they were talking about the culture in Sweden and how it's opposite in the sense that if you don't take your family leave and if fathers in particular don't take their family leave, they're almost looked down upon by their company. Like, why aren't you taking your full 1 year of paternal leave?
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
It's wild to think about all these factors that are going into play. And I think that helps me sometimes to think about all of the other things because it makes me feel less crazy. Mm. Like, it's not that there's something wrong with me. And yes, maybe I have some control over my stress, but I also don't. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I feel grateful that in bhakti, when there is so much out of your control, there's still something in your control. Mm-hmm. And that is the ability to connect to a higher power, divinity, a personal loving God that has enough love, has enough strength. That has been a lifeline for me.
That's beautiful. I totally agree. Having that spiritual grounding is really the starting point for being able to live a more healthy and balanced life as a parent. In my, I guess, hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Still trying to do that. Even reflecting on and even praying that please provide me insight as to where are the places where I need to lean in more and be so-called intense.
Yeah.
And where are times where I need to let it go and just trust in your plan.
Yeah. I was also thinking for me, I do have to trust in my child, and that's really hard.
Mm.
But yeah, also trusting in God. Like, just one example, I think we've known ever since our son has been little that fine motor skills are not in his strong wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I would be lying if I said I was stress-free about, how's my kid going to learn how to write? When is he going to learn how to use scissors? Is he behind? Oh my gosh, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I've been out of that fear and worry, trying to sneak it in here and there. And yeah, I somehow started just like doodling randomly kind of in his space, but actually more for me than for him. And he kind of started joining me, but still it was very casual. Some days I did have an agenda, right? Like I'll get really excited that he's writing with me and I'll try to write a letter A and see if he like copies or whatever, but it never worked. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was just like, forget it. Let's just scribble and draw and, you know, have fun. And then literally in the car driving to the park the other day, he goes like, Mama, I drew a letter A. And I was like, what? Like, in my head, I'm like, you don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, he showed me, he literally drew the letter A. And I was dumbfounded. Just, I feel like I get constant reminders and I have to check myself and ask myself, in this moment, am I trying to be God or am I trusting God? Mm. In terms of dictating my child's life, you know?
Beautifully put.
I feel like we've talked about a lot in this podcast.
Yeah.
So if there's one reflection or summary or something that you're taking away from this conversation that you're going to carry with you in your heart, what would be the one thing for you?
Parent burnout is a real thing. And over time, when it's continuous, it will have detrimental effects to the individual, but also to a family and society at large. And just as, I guess, a warning to myself and maybe to other parents and to others who are not parents, but no parents.
Yeah.
That just watch out whether you're that person or you have a friend or a loved one who's that person.
Yeah.
It's the little things over time.
Yeah.
That do build. And a lot of us, because we want to do good for our kids, we sacrifice ourselves.
Yeah.
A little bit over time.
I think we also pretend that we aren't sacrificing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's also a need to project this image of I have it all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can say I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
I love that reflection, right? Like taking it seriously, being honest where we can, and also to others, you know, not just assuming parents are okay because they seem like they're okay. It's going to take all parties to take an extra step.
Hmm.
But ultimately, we can't control what other people do. We can still control that connection to the divine. Hmm. I just always go back to that. I just feel like I have experienced so much of what Vivek Murthy was saying about like the loneliness. And I feel like maybe I did try some of those interventions and everybody's busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I may pick up the phone to call, but someone may not respond.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, where do you go in those moments when you've exhausted all of the strategies within your capacity?
Yeah.
That's what I love about bhakti, because you never exhaust all of your options. There's always an option. There's always someone to lift you up. That's my takeaway.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Thanks for the chat.
Yeah.
This was great. Thank you for listening. We would love to hear your thoughts, your reflections. Please do reach out. Please message us. Our favorite part of doing this podcast is the idea of connecting. In an era where connection is hard, we would love to hear from you. Thank you for taking the time to listen, and we will see you in the next episode. Good night, everybody. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.